chapter 3. We want to read from verse 13 through verse 17. For the sake of the thought and the study tonight, I just simply entitled this study, Who Can Harm You? Who Can Harm You? Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. And thus we see that the writer is encouraging now the folks to be strong in the Lord, and of course in the power of His might, because who can harm you? We studied last prayer meeting on the matter of how to have a good life and how to love life and see good days. And we were taught there that there were certain things to abstain from, certain things to be promoted in our lives. And in verse 12, actually, he summed that thought up with these words, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And verse 12 then gives us the launching point or the introduction to the thought tonight, who can harm you? Who can harm you? The Lord's eyes over the righteous. And we see that in verse 12, the Lord is on your side. And if the Lord be on your side, then who in the world can harm you? I'm persuaded that there's not anything that can harm you or me tonight when the Lord stands in our behalf. David finally resolved this in his life. If there was ever a man in conflict, it would have been David as a young man. He knew that he was anointed king over Israel. He had not done anything to promote the anger of Saul, who was king over Israel at the time. But yet his life was filled with conflict. Effort after effort had been made by Saul to take David's life, and ultimately he resolved himself to the will of God and simply resolved it like this, touch not the Lord's anointed, lay not thy hand upon him. And that's what his motivation was throughout all of that time and all of that trial with King Saul, that he just would not touch the Lord's anointed. He had times in his life that he could have taken Saul's life and very easily have done so. But each time the Lord simply moved upon his heart to just resolve things to his will and trust him, because the eye of the Lord is over the righteous. And David had resolved that and figured that out. Go back farther in the Bible and you'll find a man named Joseph that we've studied in recent days. And that young man had to be persuaded that the Lord's eye was over the righteous, or he would have been disheartened and discouraged, torn from his home and from his father's love and sold into slavery in Egypt. And yet each time that something came into his life that he could not fully understand, he would just simply refer it to the Lord. And in the text tonight, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And if we get that picture in our minds tonight, we can say, who can harm us? Who can harm us? Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And of course, in that case, following Christ. But there's two things he said here, really, in our behalf, as far as the Lord is concerned. His eyes are over the righteous. He's watching out for us. And then the Bible said his ears are open unto their prayers. You and I have the greatest access of anybody. I feel sorry for the unsaved world tonight who do not have the peace in their hearts to know that their prayer will be heard. But we have that confidence and that assurance in our lives that our prayer will be heard. The ears of the Lord are open unto the prayers of the saints of God. And who can harm us? I mean, we have ready access to the Philippians. Paul said, the Lord is at hand. He wasn't talking about the soon appearing of Christ or the second coming of Christ, but he's talking about the immediate availability of the Lord and his grace and whatever the need was in his life. The Lord is at hand. He's not far away. It's hard for us to realize tonight because we always think of God most of the time in heaven. But truth of the matter is that our Lord Jesus Christ stands ready at hand to meet the need in our lives. And this is the promise that our Lord gave whenever he would go away, that he would send another comforter to abide with us. And then on the outside of this, not in direct relation to the believer, but applicable to the believer, the Lord's face is against the evil. In other words, there is a God of judgment who does keep exacting accounts and deals with every issue that ever is raised and will ultimately, in the finality of it, good will triumph. The Lord is against them that do evil. Now, the Lord warned that we'd live in a day when men would begin to call evil good and good evil. And we've seen that come to pass. Heard it promoted as a real good for society. The killing of the innocent unborn, and we know it is abortion today. And that's not true. That's calling evil good. On the other hand, they're talking about today that by and large the real problem with most of the world is brought about by fundamentalists, a very vocal talk show host at one time made the statement that fundamental Christianity was as bad as fundamentalist in the Muslim faith, and she does not know either, or she wouldn't have made such a statement. The truth of the matter is the fundamentalists in the Muslim faith are bound by their, quote, holy book, unquote, to kill every other person that is not an advocate of the Muslim faith. But fundamental Christianity has this one thing at heart, and that is for the sake of the souls of men willing to sacrifice and do good. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And I present to you tonight that the Lord's on your side, so who can harm you? And then secondly, with that thought in mind, who can harm you? Don't worry. Just don't worry. And who is he that will harm you if you because that is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, we have this confidence tonight. We don't have to be worried. Just follow good. And if the path of righteousness brings some measure of suffering and persecution, then understand that ultimately, in the finality of it, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So don't be worried. Then honor the Lord. Just have hope and be able to defend that hope. Look at it again with me. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I'm persuaded tonight that we as believers certainly have hope. And we need to be able to defend that hope, to express why we hold such hope. Just in the basic analysis of it, first of all, we have a hope, and I defend that hope because Jesus Christ loved me to the point of his own death. We certainly have one who, to whom we can pay homage and honor tonight, and we ought to be able to defend that hope. Just in relation to this, and I'll go on. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, he is not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be able to defend it. Then it's better to suffer for right than for wrong. For it's better, in verse 17, if the will of God be so. In other words, if this is something that comes into life, that God would see fit to allow and to proceed that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In other words, there's no honor to the Lord if we suffered for our wrong, if we were wrong. But if we are right and suffer, then you rest assured God keeps exact accounts and He will reward accordingly. Not only to the enemy, but also to the saints of God that have been faithful down through the ages. I am persuaded that there is life and life eternal to the saints of God, and enjoyment and bliss in the presence of our Lord in eternity for those who are faithful unto Him. So if we have to suffer for a time here, let it be for well-doing and not for wrongdoing. Wrongdoing would just bring justice, but if we suffer for well-doing, it'll bring a reward that is eternal and everlasting, even before God Himself, that we might even win that crown of life, that we might cast it at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whom harm you tonight? I hope you've been encouraged just a little bit to know that you're secure in Jesus Christ, that there is a protection that you have tonight that is encouraging, and not only encouraging, but it's real. God will look out for His own.